Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing podcast. Now, as many of you listeners know, we love having the same people on our podcast because as we podcast with people, much like just having a regular conversation with fellow business owners, we uncover more and more pieces of information. And a while ago, we had the partners of Boomer Health Group, and that was Joanne Giardini-Russell and Gwen Sherrick-Elbertson. I got them both right, I think, this time. All right. I think I slaughtered that last time terribly. But anyway, we've got both of them back on. Now, what we're going to talk about today is centers of influences versus strategic partnerships. Because if you remember, this company, Boomer Healthcare Group or Boomer Health Group, strategically partners with financial services professionals literally all over the Midwest. And not only do they help you grow your business, but it helps them grow their business at the same time. And I was like, you know what? We need to find out their secret sauce. We need to find out how they had the epiphany that the advisor down the street is actually a compliment to their services instead of competition. So ladies, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having us back.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you guys back. Okay, so why don't we start off with an operational definition? Would you guys mind? Let's tell the audience what centers of influence means to you.
Well, to me, it's a lot different than a strategic partner. We can all have a lot of centers of influence. Those are people that are, I think, helping us with our organization and growth and things like that. But I believe it differs, in my opinion, to a strategic partnership is a lot different where you're more co-symbiotic versus the center of influence to me is somebody that's just kind of helping me and a kind of a rah-rah cheerleader person that you can rely on. So I think of them as very different.
All right, Gwen, what do you think?
You?
I would agree. Your centers of influence, to a lot of times to me, the relationship is that of cultivation, just like everything is. Strategic partner or center of influence, but the center of influence is going to a lot of times provide you and give you access to these strategic partners.
It's like there's
a lot of fingers to a centers of influence that can lead to strategic partnerships.
I want to play devil's advocate here because I hear this from advisors all the time. Well, I have given so many referrals to my fill in the blank, estate planning attorney, divorce attorney, CPA, but they don't ever reciprocate. How do you overcome that from a centers of influence standpoint? Do you overcome it? And then how do you use that relationship after it's developed and turn it into a strategic partnership?
Yeah, that's great because our business is a little unique in that we work with hundreds of advisors.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we're not going to be that person like that estate planning. If you're looking for a tit for tat kind of thing, it's just not going to happen. Mm. So our tagline is a little bit become, we're going to make you look like the rock star.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about making that person look great in the eyes of the client. So that's your job. So when we come in and step up and do our Medicare piece, we're helping you. We are, you know, giving accolades to the advisors saying, hey, it's a good thing you put them in our hands. It's great. We take care of that person. We ship them back. They're your clients. We're just an assist arm. It's your job at that point, in my opinion, to take it as the advisor, taking credit, take the kudos for the referral. Great. And then spin off of that. But we're never, ever going to be that. Oh, will you give us three? We're going to give you three. You know,
okay.
There's no tally out there. So we got a team of people, and we're just kind of that little piece to make you look like that rock star. So just that's a little unique in our business.
Well, could you actually also remind everybody your business model? Because I think that your business model is obviously wildly applicable to our conversation today.
Yeah. Okay. Great. 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 I'm glad we back up with that. So our business model is Medicare in terms of Medicare coaching. So it's not just putting somebody into a Medicare product. It's all the conversation that leads up to that. Do I even need Medicare at 65? Should I be taking Medicare? Should I stay on my group plan? Should I blah, blah, blah? That's a huge decision in someone's world, huge. And every person alive at age 65 has to deal with Medicare. And it's just a conversation. So we have a product or a service that applies to 60 million so far people in the United States. It's a big market. people don't understand it. It's confusing. The advisors don't get it. The HR people don't get it, et cetera. So our niche has been a few years ago identifying that area exists. How we operate is virtually. So we really just go around and work with all of the strategic partners everywhere that we are just trying to fill calendars for agents. So it's a little unique in that we just have great phone conversations, all of our agents do, with the end user person, and that's our client base. So we're paid by insurance carriers. We handle everything separately. We update the agents. We're here as the resource. So it's kind of cool on our end. It's very streamlined, very computer-oriented, efficient. The phone conversations are great. Really works very well. And we're blessed in that we get fantastic clients because we're dealing with people that are dealing with CPAs, financial people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Our clients don't let lapse, policies lapse. We don't, we're in pretty good shape. So I love it. So we just get to actually come out and be that warm and fuzzy provider, but we just do a really good job. We just do what we say we're going to do. We answer questions well. We know our stuff, and it's unique, and it's really fun. So
when you made this switch, right? So when you made this switch, were you also selling other things? I mean, so, you know, if I'm going to be a paranoid financial services professional here and say, okay, well, I understand that, you know, that this is what you do, but what happens if they want a blankety blank?
Right. I'm turning my client over to you and I'm trusting you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to steal all your business and give them annuity. Yeah, absolutely. So I come out of the classic insurance and financial industry space with my Series 6, 63, 65. I gave it all up a couple years ago. I hate it. I don't like it. I used to even do life insurance and disability, just doing a little here and there. I don't do any of that. I turn it over to my strategic partners for that stuff. I'm not going to take your client, however, and turn it over to somebody else. But if somebody is not working with an advisor, then I'm going to refer them to the appropriate place. But I understand that paranoia because it's all trust and it's just my client. And we are extremely respectful of that. If people don't trust us for that, that's fine. You know, there's 18,000 CPAs in Michigan. Guess what? We have plenty of business. I'm not too concerned. But we don't do that. So, you know, it's a huge thing, I think, but just on, you know, our website, we don't advertise for other products. And I can tell you stories of lots and lots of Medicare people out there pushing annuities, pushing other products, and they will take your clients. So if anything, we're actually protecting them because we're not doing that stuff. But I absolutely think it's a concern. And I get it. I get it. I mean, that's their bread and butter. That's their, you know, that's their paycheck. So you just, if it's not us, find someone that's going to handle your people and protect them for you.
Okay.
But this topic of Medicare is that important. The people are looking for that information. Yeah. So handle it.
Gwen, when you made this switch, how would you recommend other financial services professionals? Because we've probably, Kirk and I have done, I don't know, probably 15 out of our almost 100 podcasts now on niche marketing and how important it is to have that very, very defined niche. And you two are wonderfully successful and a great success story on totally running a successful niche marketing firm. How would you do that if you wouldn't have given up your 665, 7, 24, whatever licenses you might have had? What sort of advice could you give other financial services professionals to make that switch like you both did?
Well, honestly, I did not come out of the financial space. That was just Joanne. I never went down that road.
Okay.
Which, thank God, because I probably would have given it up as well. So I'll let Joanne handle that. But on top of that, as far as the niche marketing and figuring it out, Joanne and I have had numerous discussions about just common sense. People need Medicare. Mm-hmm. Advisors don't know how, don't know what, you know, you don't know what you don't know. It's a big tagline of ours. And again, you just, you establish that trust with them. You come from the centers of influence. You establish the trust with them. You know, they refer you to this person, this person, this person. Your strategic alliances start and the relationships just blossom from there.
All right.
Don't let them come out. Don't let them try it. Honestly. You know, I get hit on every day, it seems like, on LinkedIn or whomever. Have you thought of added long-term care? Thought of adding annuities to what you do? All that stuff. We just keep saying no, 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 because I could actually hire a true Medigap expert. I could hire a dual income, dual eligible expert. I could hire a group Medigap expert. I could take Medicare and drill it down to five different subsets. If I can do that with Medicare, do you think a financial person that deals with it for half an hour a day, if that, is really going to be an expert? No.
Right.
So, I mean, I can tell them no. So I would not advise anybody to try it. So they just need to open their mind. And they are. You know, a lot of firms across the country are really doing a great job. I get the success story. You know, hey, oh, my gosh, I tried it. The client absolutely loved it. Can you come out? Can you fly out and do seminars for us? Sure. So that just shows me it works. So our job is really training that advisor for the content. It's free. We're here to coach you to help your client get information. You look great.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting it. But there's plenty to go around.
Right.
Big old market.
You have that level of specialty, though, right? So you just said, you know, I could break this down into five different sections. And the advisors need to open their mind. And I agree with that. They need to open their mind to listen or to work with both of you. Mm-hmm. And by the way, for those of you who have not checked them out on the web, we'll make sure all of those links are in the show notes, because I mean, I have the privilege of talking to two uber successful, super specialized, magnificently, just wonderful people who do such a great job. But I want to rewind. So if you didn't choose this path, right, for whatever reason,
yeah.
How do we translate your model? That's really what I want to try to tease out today, because, you know, we have people who are all over financial services who listen to our podcast, you know, everybody from people who just sell, you know, basically term insurance to health insurance people to annuity people to full blown CFPs, RIAs, BDs, everything. Right. But you are those guys, and I'm using that with air quotes there. Right. So you're the go to people for this. And that's one of the reasons why the Centers of Influence and Strategic Partnerships work so well, because you are so focused and they can identify both of you as that person. Now, if you were still in financial planning as a financial advisor, could you tell our audience how they might be able to specialize in the same way that you do so that they can do your same business model? What do you think?
I think they have to identify what their focus is, what they're good at, what they're passionate about, things like that. Mm-hmm. All these advisors to me that go around and say they're holistic, or, you know, they're not. You just can't be. Mm-hmm. So I've got a good friend who does long-term care and life insurance, and, you know, and he's working on his focus in his zone because he's seeing our success.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty and plenty and plenty of business in one area. I think so many advisors just have that feeling of they have to be everything to everybody and provide every product to everybody. You know, when you've got 20 different types of permanent insurance, basically, and care, how in the world can you possibly be good at one thing? So clients recognize that. They know when the answer is not. I hear, you know, we've been hearing a lot about, you know, you're a confident firm. So our confidence comes through our knowledge and what we're doing every day, and we just know it. And you know what? If it doesn't work for client ABC, it's okay. We don't have that scarcity mentality. There's 60 million seniors already on Medicare, so 10,000 a day turning 65. So we don't have that built in, but I think a lot of it comes with the conviction of the knowledge and the specialization. So I would just encourage those people to peel back, you know, even a firm. You can take a firm, and I used to advocate this in my old place. Have two people that just do life insurance, and they're specialists. Have two people that do long-term care, they're specialists. You can make your firm work monetarily, salary, whatever you want to do behind the scenes. You can all work for the focus of the customer, and I think you're just more successful. So firms don't do that. Firms, you know, they just don't seem to do that in the financial space. I think it's a very single focus, even under one roof. It's still a single focus, commission-based, you know, stuff that it wasn't a good fit for me. So this works completely for us. And you know, that would just be my two cents coming out of that industry.
You said two things there that I want to highlight there, the two S's for today's podcast, which is the scarcity mentality, removing the scarcity mentality, which I think actually stems from a lot of where financial services people began, which was, you know, that 100 dials, 10 appointments, one close sort of, you know, grind it out sort of thing. And then you also said specialization. Now, I had a gentleman who I coached many, many years ago who reminds me a lot of you. And when I first met him and he said, all I do is he sold permanent life insurance to people who made over $100 million a year. And I just thought to myself, well, first off, wow, how lucrative could that possibly be, right? He needs like one client a year. But what he did is the exact same thing as you all have done, which is he switched his centers of influences to strategic partners. Now, he was fully licensed and could do other things, but he did exactly what you two did, which was to kind of drop the other things and maintain that singular focus. And he said to me, Matt, I have three clients a year. Now, it might take me 3 years to get everything done, because I guess this is intensely, right. you know, but he was so successful and so happy because it was that passion. How did right. you both have the epiphany that this was going to be what you did for the rest of your lives?
We're just like female. If we have more intuition about that. You know,
good answer, but I can't bottle that. I'm sorry. Trust me, if I could, I'd be making lots more money than I'm making now.
Yeah, you know, it was actually falling into Medicare, and I'll credit my 25-year-old about people that got me into the Medicare. That's a different story, but then it was just the realization that nobody really does a good job with Medicare, and then because it became overnight that busy, it was almost a forced specialization.
Oh, interesting.
Looking back, saying like, look, oh gosh, that really works way better. So. You know, but my last firm I was with, there's a guy, I'll give a shout out to Matt Love, and he's doing exactly what you talked about with that multi-million dollar, you know, just the focus. His focus has pivoted 180 degrees, and he's way more successful than he was 5 years ago. It's the permanent life insurance space was coincidental, but his focus is singular on his target, and he's doing great. So it's kind of fun. We're coming across these people now that are just sort of adopting the specialization. I just see it as very, very successful. It's more rewarding. Mm-hmm. You don't have a million things to juggle. It's a great lifestyle, and you just have to put the mechanics behind your business model, but it works. And I was sort of thrust into that.
Okay.
And then we were just smart enough to recognize each pivot as it showed up. All these people out there listening, they have the same pivots in their world. They're just not, in my opinion, paying attention. So it's just an awareness, you know, so. And I'm getting older, 53. I want it to be fun, too, for the next 15 years. I joke that, but that's a big deal. I want this to be fun, something I could do 15, 20 years, hand off to my kids, whatever.
You can hear it in your voices.
Important.
I mean, both of you guys just are, there's something about you that makes me, as just listening to how you talk about it, it's like it's really, truly passion. So I have to ask one other quick question, because you just sparked something. And I don't know if you heard those gears grinding in my brain. It's Friday. But
did
you? Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate it. And it was a screeching halt is actually what it was. It wasn't like they were meshing well. But anyway, how much time do both of you spend sharpening your saw? So how much of your day, week, month are you using to get deeper into this?
You know what's funny is I'm constantly, this reminds me, Wednesday, so I spoke to 60 CPAs for MICPA over here, and there was a question I couldn't answer, but I'm the first one in front of a crime. I'll go find the answer. I'm not sure. So on the break, we came back and had lunch with these guys, and we got the answer. And so I delivered the answer to that particular person that was asking. And then we've been into like video stuff recently, so we're sending video emails to people, which is super cool. So we sent a big thank you, a group thank you. Hey, all that attended, thanks. And in the video, I did the public answer to that information. Number one, I'm showing my audience that, hey, we care enough to go get the answer. So we are sharpening, like for me, I don't watch TV, so it's 24/7. There's still things with Medicare that years later I still learn. So therefore, it's all that builds into that whole confidence factor. And like you're hearing it in our voice, because we keep hearing that too. It's like, you're just a confident bunch. We are, because we know our stuff and we're knowledgeable and we pay attention to it. We work really hard. I know it sounds easy what we do, but we work our tails off to really do a good job. So we're constantly, that's my answer, constantly.
Absolutely. It's daily. I ran into a situation, I think last week, wasn't it, Joanne, with a client.
Cobra.
It was just a Cobra situation that we had an understanding on between Joanne and I, and phone calls and screen sharing and this and that, probably to get an answer for that client 2 or 3 hours that night. But guess what?
Wow.
When we learned the next situation, we know exactly going in what the rules are, how to deal with it. So it's daily. It can be something as far as, you know, 2 or 3 hours of research, or a quick answer like we found at lunch the other day. It depends. And it just continually grows your learning base and your knowledge base. And from there, you know, you just move forward.
Could you all imagine?
Again, why the FAs out there is like, all right, if you're doing that with 7 or 8 or 10 product types of things, how can you possibly do it well?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go. I mean, I just wanted everybody to think about that. Could you imagine how much time you would have to get this deep? It's like you guys are like three inches wide and 4 miles deep, right? Where everybody else is like, a mile wide and a half an inch deep. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
Finally, here's my last question. My last question is, your collateral material that you are sharing to build these relationships, what is the most successful medium that you're both using to, I mean, you just said you talked to 60 CPAs. I mean, did you do that over the phone? Did you start with social media, texting? Did you send them something? Help me understand your guys' process a little bit more, please.
That was a live. That was part of. They had a day event called Road to Retirement, so we were asked to speak there. I think that's about the fourth thing I've been speaking of. So now they're saying, "Can you be on the preferred speaker roster?" Yes, we can. LinkedIn is primarily the focus medium for what we do, because we are, again, pairing with. We have four groups: CPAs, financial advisors, HR people, and group benefit people. That's our focus, and that's it. So we take those four, and we're meeting them constantly. Gwen is just a rock star on social media. We always have seminars booked through other advisors. And then after that becomes our fortune in the follow-up. We are just, constantly, our email systems and the drips and things and playing with the video responses right now, feeding the advisors' content, the CPAs and such. So every time I send out a content blast, 5% of those people are going to use it and try it. And the more they try it, the more they're seeing that the Medicare conversation works, and they get to be that rock star. So they are turning over client after client after client. So think of a CPA. That one CPA represents 100 or 200 clients.
Yeah.
And those are business owners. And it just, that's where the finger sensation thing that Gwen's talking about, just, it keeps diving into different layers.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for us, it would start with LinkedIn, and then it takes on a life of its own.
So Gwen, can you add to that? Your partner just said that you're like the social media master. So help us with
Lord.
That.
It's okay. Another one of those things. It comes very easily to me.
Okay.
To me, it's just a logical process. Oh, this person does this. Obviously Medicare fits for them. Here's an introduction. I find being informal really works the best way.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, have you ever thought about adding a Medicare piece to your suite of services? A lot of times on LinkedIn, I'll get these really long, like, thanks for connecting, and it explains their business. It's like 3 inches long. I just want to keep it easy. Like, hey, we do Medicare. We work with financial advisors, CPAs, etc. If you ever want to chat about it, let me know. And more times than not, you'll get a message back. We'll do a phone call. It really is just that easy. Number one, just reaching out on LinkedIn. And number two, keeping it simple. You can delve a little deeper when you have a phone call. No, we don't do annuities. Yes, we protect your business. But other than that, just keep it easy.
We're pretty non-threatening. We're just like helping people. It's not threatening at all. We're fun. We try and keep the speeches funny, entertaining, because Medicare could be really boring in many ways, but we make it fun. Lots of storytelling, lots of content, then there's interest. And then by the time we leave, we've got five more seminars booked, because I up there announce, hey, we do speaking seminars, lunch and learns, call us in, and then you're attacked. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So you talk about the centers of influence. So this influence, this CPA seminar that we did, that comes from a center of influence. You're referred, you have your reputation. This particular group calls us and says, hey, we'd like you to speak. Okay, so that comes from the centers of influence. From there, we're there, and we can't get out of the room. We have, can you do a lunch and learn for 30 people? Can you do this? Can you do that? So there's where the trickle down comes from the centers of influence to the strategic partnerships, to all the fingers that go out from there.
But Matt, we'd love to think it's just us and let it go to our heads.
Right.
And then it drives the topic. So we laugh about that too. Granted, we deliver it very well, but it really is Medicare. Nobody's really delivering it like that. So I think that's the unique factor. And I'm trying to be sensitive too to the financial industry. It's not that easy to do it with life insurance or annuities or whatever your specialization becomes, because we are granted lucky, I think, to be in an area that just is not served at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, so again, you know, we take it with a mixed, you know, sense of appreciation. But yeah, we do it well, but it's Medicare the topic that people want to, but we have fun with it.
Well, and I would, so I'm going to play devil's advocate with myself here, because I do think that there are niches within every aspect of the financial services industry that you can go that, you know, 3 inches wide and in multiple miles mm-hmm. deep, but you just have to have the discipline. You have to have the passion and you have to be willing to take that leap. And when you got rid of all of your licenses, I mean, that was a big, holy, I mean, for a lot mm-hmm. of people, that's terrifying, mm-hmm. right? Because those tests are hard.
Yes. Yeah.
And yeah. you know, that's leaving a lot, and some advisors would say it's leaving a lot of opportunity on the table. But instead, the way that you are looking at it is, no, it's clearing the table for the opportunity, right?
Exactly. Good. Exactly. My world is way more successful now than then.
Yeah.
And just going upward just because of my direct, and it's a lot easier in my brain to every day get up and
sure.
just know my stuff. And yeah. it just, you know, again, that's where you become that convicted speaker. So it's easy. And then you're requested for 10 events and then it turns into 20. So yeah. it just grows, but it does take, you know, and I know we kind of make it sound easy or feel easy or appear. It's work, mm-hmm. but it's no more work than I was doing 5 years ago. And it's just more fun. Today's more fun work. So kind of cool.
I want everybody go ahead, Gwen.
Well, I love sports analogies because I have 2 13-year-old boys, so I live sports every day. So did Michael Jordan become a great basketball player by not practicing basketball mm-hmm. day in, day out, hours a day? You're going to specialize. You need to specialize. And that's the only way that you're going to be the best that you can be.
Yeah. You know, somebody asked me a long time ago, why did he practice free throws all the time? He never missed. And I said, well, that's the reason he never missed, right?
Is that kind of an oxymoron?
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? All right. Well, hey, guys, thank you so much. Yeah. So for the listeners right now, go to boomerhealthgroup.com. That way you can go ahead and you can connect. They are very, very active on social media. Take a look at what their posts are. It's fantastic. I will try to get some links in there for you. I know that you can get it from the Boomer Healthcare Group or boomerhealthgroup.com. But I want to thank you both for coming on. And of course, as I said to you last time, I would love to have you back. There's 2 or 3 other topics that you just brought up today that I would really want to talk about, because again, this is Top Advisor Marketing, and you guys, thank you so much for talking about how you market this, because this is what the podcast is about, is really meeting people who are successful marketers in the financial services industry and what they do that's fundamentally unique and different that's led to their success. And I think you both are poster children in a good way for people, for everybody here to look up to and say, man, I want to be just like Gwen and I just want to be like Joanne. So thanks guys very much for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Matt. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for sharing it. Yeah, and just out there too, we're happy to even share this personally, connect on LinkedIn, emails mm-hmm. and stuff. We're just, you know, we're having fun with it. We're happy to teach and share what we can. So thanks so much for Matt for, you know, highlighting and putting us out there too. Appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome. All right. So if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure that you click that subscribe now button below. And if you know another financial services professional who really could use today's information, it's super, super easy. All you have to do is click that share button. You can share it via social media or you can share it via email. So for everybody at Boomer Health Group and for everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, this is Matt Hallern and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.